Welcome to Edges and Sledges, episode 9. We are halfway through the IPL. Match number 28 just ended. So like our previous couple of episodes, expect this one to be focused on the IPL as well. My name is Ashwin from Toronto. With me, I have my two co-bloggers, DJ from London and Varun from Singapore. And for the fourth week in a row, we have a very special guest joining us. Just to quickly remind you, week one of the IPL, we had Vishnu Mohan, CSK fan, join us. Week two, we had Rohan, a Punjab fan, Kings 11 Punjab fan. Week three last week, we had Siddharth Podar, or Pod, as our Rajasthan Royals fan. And now I'm excited to introduce you to Yogi, who is our very, very happy right now Sunrisers Hyderabad fan. They are not only sitting pretty at the top of the table, but they also won their match this morning right before we record this episode. So, hey, everybody. Yogi, thank you for joining us. We're going to start the show with you and the Hyderabad section.
Just before we start, I just want to give one story about Yogi and Sunrisers Hyderabad. So Yogi has been a very old friend of mine. We used to live together in Singapore. In 2009, Deccan Chargers, as they were known back then, was doing very well. And one Thursday evening, you know, the security guard of our building actually came and rung our bell and asked us to stop the party because downstairs there was a lot of noise, and the noise was basically chants of 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, Deccan Chargers, we want more. And chants like, go Chargers, go Chargers, go, 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 go. And the guard looked inside and it was just Yogi sitting alone on the couch. I weren't even home. Yogi was sitting alone and chanting for Deccan Chargers. So, yeah, welcome to the show, Yogi, the true Sunrisers fan.
That's a fantastic story. Yogi, on that note, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself as a fan, your journey being a fan of the team that, like I said, is now sitting top of the table.
Yeah, it is a little difficult to hear you guys right now, you know, mostly because the air up here in the top of the table is a little rarefied. So,
especially because three of us are Delhi fans, right? So for us,
not one of the earlier weeks, because, you know, after the two horrific losses to Punjab and CSK, I was feeling a little depressed. But this has been a great week. I mean, it was pretty straightforward that I would be supporting any Hyderabad team. I've grown up in Hyderabad, and that's essentially where I connect myself with when it's in India, even though I haven't lived there since in the last like 13 or 14 years now. Yeah, and I sat through that depressing first 2008 season where they won the wooden spoon. But then I was also around, as Garg reminds us all, when they won in 2009, which was beautiful. It was beautiful. That was the Gilchrist, Simons, and Rohit era. Honestly, I think like between 2011 and 14, I wasn't watching IPL as much. Blasphemous, I know, but it's true.
You weren't living with Garg then.
I wasn't living with Garg then. And the other fact, of course, being the fact that I was very invested in Deccan Chargers and the name Deccan Chargers. And then the switch to the Sunrisers Hyderabad was not like doing it for me, which happened in 2012. Despite that, I came back to watching it in 2015 more closely and was rewarded in 2016 for returning to the fold. I think the thing that I enjoy watching now is that they've taken a slightly different strategy to the entire tournament, which is that they're going to basically bank on the bowlers consistently. And yeah.
So thanks. Good summary. Let's talk us through that a little. So you said 08, bottom of the table, 09 winners. 2015, when you started again, I believe they ended sixth, didn't make the playoffs. And then 2016, they were winners. So, you know, let's talk about that. In 2016, you know, the Purple Cap winner was Bhuvneshwar Kumar for the first time. Was that the real sign of the strategy and the choice being made that, hey, we're going to be bowling heavy and bowlers will win us the tournament? Or how do you think about the 2016 season that was game changing?
I mean, it was more than just Bhuvi, right? I mean, yes, Bhuvneshwar Kumar was the Purple Cap holder. He was probably like the big wicket taker. But you had the big shift there was the way that they were bowling in the depth. They brought in Fizz was that season as well. Yeah. And it was just the way that they decided to like constrain the runs at the end that made it pretty awesome. And you kind of see that happening even this season. Like if you look at the kind of purchases they've been making in the auction this year, for example, there's like three or four other bowlers who are fast bowlers who are just sitting in the bench right now. They haven't played a single game, and I doubt they will unless there are some substantial injuries going forward. But like, they seem to have focused very specifically on this idea of we will make sure that people don't hit more than 130 to 140 runs against us.
So let's think about that. Through the auction, which was in Feb, I remember there was some conversation we were having, but you know, they chose not to retain Shikhar Dhawan. They retained Warner, Rashid Khan, and Bhuvi. Before we talk about Warner, which we'll come to after, how are you feeling overall during the auction process as they, you know, continue to spend big on these quick bowlers and, you know, maybe feel a little bit light on the batting department?
I still think they're light on the batting department. And that was definitely something that was a little worrying. I mean, right now I'm speaking with hindsight and it sounds like it's working. But yeah, I was a little worried at the beginning when they kept buying a lot of the fast bowlers. I mean, I think the spin options that they purchased made a lot of sense. I was a little worried that it was a little heavy on the overseas spinners, because this is what happened last game. You had three overseas players, all who were spinners, and technically Navi and Shakib can bat, but that's about a once in a blue moon kind of event. So it seemed to place a lot of, let's say, focus or pressure on Indian seamers doing well. Seems to have worked out again, but yeah, there was definitely some panic.
So just before we come to Warner or another topic, let's talk a little about overseas spinners. Varun, maybe I'll direct this one to you for a second. A first Afghani player to play in the IPL played for Sunrisers Hyderabad. We've spoken a lot about Rashid Khan on the show. How impactful do you think he has been for the team and the success they've had?
I think he's been the X factor for them. I think they retained him. I think they chose him ahead of Mustafa Zur. He's only 19. He's the number one T20 bowler in the world today. I mean, to me, he's absolutely great. The point to note is he has been hit as well. Like, Gale did tear him apart. But it's a never give up kind of attitude. I think he looks like somebody who wants to improve every game. He wants to work on his weaknesses. And I think even while watching the match today, basically, it's almost reached a stage where you're like thinking, the opposition has to go after Kaul and maybe Sandeep Sharma, because once Rashid Khan comes in, more than six and over is tough. So it's very interesting. I also do want to mention one point. I think it's something nobody talks about, but how good is Sandeep Sharma? I think if you look at the past record, he's played for Kings 11 Punjab. He never starts the IPL. Never. And when he starts, they can't leave him out. I think today his economy rate was below 4, if I'm not mistaken. For a wicket, he gets swing. Ashwin was pointing out earlier, I think the ball deviates or swings 1.5 inches or so compared to the regular bowler. So how good is Sandeep Sharma? We haven't really kind of spoken about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great point. He had a breakthrough season for Punjab a few years ago, and Hyderabad will now be looking and saying, great purchase. You know, let's quickly just come to your DJ. Let me ask you a quick question on this before we go back to Yogi. But 2 weeks before the IPL, our first couple of episodes of the podcast, the Warner and Smith news broke. We spoke a little bit about the impact that's going to have on the Hyderabad and Rajasthan teams. I raised my hand and said, hey, without Warner, I think Hyderabad's batting looks exceptionally weak. I don't think they're going to have a shot this season. You know, halfway through the season, I've been proven drastically wrong. Clearly, their bowling has stepped up. But DJ, how good has Williamson been for them this year, both with bat and as skipper?
Well, it's a difficult question because I think he's been okay. He hasn't been outstanding like Warner would have been, because Warner just reels off 150 after the other. And their batting kind of feeds off that. So I think you're still right in that they are missing David Warner. And if they do come across, if they do need to chase a big total, the one day that their bowling doesn't fire, they're not the kind of team that will chase it. And you can see the change in strategy. Now they want to bat first, set a target, and restrict the opposition. So I think they are missing David Warner quite a lot. Shikhar Dhawan's compounded that by not kind of being up to his usual standard. Maybe he feeds off the Warner explosive start as well. But I mean, their bowling has compensated for it. They've added Shakib this year to the attack. Siddharth Kaul has obviously shown what he's capable of. So while the batting hasn't been setting the world on fire, their bowling has really compensated for that. And it remains to be seen whether that can last over a tournament that's 2 months long, Yogi. And I think that is the real question, whether they'd be able to sustain it or whether teams work out what their weakness is and figure a way out of how to win games against them.
Batting is definitely weak. So I'll say this. I think that the bowling right now is doing so well that they'll qualify. I don't think there's a problem with them qualifying for the playoffs. The issue is going to come in the fact that, as DJ said, on the one day a batsman just fires, like you have a Chris Gayle kind of event, there's no batting right now in the team that's going to be able to chase that down. I like the fact that they've brought Alex Hales in. I was not sure why they were sitting him out this long, especially for Nabi. It didn't make any sense to me. Yeah, the batting right now does not look like it can chase anything over 170. And even 170 is like on a, the top three have to fire. So I think the strategy has basically become, yeah, bat first if you can, and make sure you get to 150, because then you can kind of put all the pressure on the bowlers to defend it, because they've been soaking it up well. My biggest problem so far has been with the middle order. Pandey's been, like, a lot of people were talking about his 50 last game. It was a pretty shit 50. I mean, he got, what, dropped thrice, twice before he was even at 10 runs. It was slow. And I mean, like, at the end, I think they managed to, like, limp to a total that we managed to defend. But again, it was the kind of position that was shameful to even be in. It's to say, Yusuf Pathan, I think, is actually doing a good job for what he's supposed to be doing. I'm surprised. I have very little faith in Yusuf Pathan as a player, but he's actually done what I expected of him. And the fact that he's realized that there are times when you need to actually push the score up a little bit more rather than go for the 200 and get out for 100. Let's try and push it to 130. I think he's trying that strategy, and it's worked out well. But today as well, you can see the death batting was crap. What, we were 115 at the end of the 16th over, or like the 15th over, and we ended at 150. The death batting is just not doing it for them. And are they missing Warner? Hell yeah, they're missing Warner. There's no question on that. I think Williamson brought the captaincy back in a way that has been really good. Like, he's used his bowling really well. But yeah, of course they're missing one. There's that level of explosiveness just doesn't exist in the batting lineup right now.
Great, thank you. So that brings us to the end of our first section, which was the conversation with our guest.
DJ, I just want to ask you, are you a closet Sunrisers fan? Because I know you spent a lot of time in growing up in Hyderabad as well.
I actually spend more time in Hyderabad between school and university. I spent 9 years there in total. Oh, obviously, I have a special place in my heart for the city. I think I'm more a closet CSK fan, to tell the truth. And it's probably because of the Deccan Chargers and what a rubbish team they were. So, I was going to ask you, Yogi.
I remember Delhi Daredevils winning a title just yet.
CSK is one enough, right? But I was going to ask you, Yogi, is there that much power in a name? You said you stopped following like the IPL for a few years because the name changed.
Also, that I moved to the US, I did not have the connection to the game as much at that point. I hadn't yet figured out a way to watch it. So it was a lot tougher at that time.
All I'm hearing is that you're justifying your fantasy performance over the years.
Oh, no. My fantasy performance is justified by the fact that I don't wake up in time to change my team.
Just consistent.
There are others of us who also live in North America, and some we manage, so we commit. I'm just saying, even if
whatever.
All right, let's move on to the second section of this week, which is a recap of quickly of what's happened in the IPL in this past week. So, DJ, I'm going to hand it over to you to take us through that before we move on.
Yeah, so we're just going to do a series of quick highlights from the week. We'll just highlight the big individual performances, and then we'll talk a little bit about, you guessed it, it's going to be Yogi's team, the Sunrisers Hyderabad, and what they've been doing. So the batsman, so Raidu, has been in great form, 79 versus Sunrisers Hyderabad to lead them to a close win against them, and 82 versus the RCB. Suresh Raina has scored 250s in the week, which, Varun, I think you'd be pretty pleased about. Rohit Sharma, in the top versus bottom game, I think played an excellent innings. It was yesterday, wasn't it? To give Mumbai a kind of a last gasp, a win to keep them in the tournament. So he scored 56 versus CSK. Williamson scored 84 against CSK. They seem to be conceding quite a few 50s. The innings that I really enjoyed this week was actually Gautam's innings, Rajasthan Royals versus Mumbai Indians. It was 33 of 11 balls, and he completely changed the entire game. And I think that was the impact innings of the week for me, because it was just the game-changing innings in that game. Dhoni, again, coming back into form, 70 of 34 versus the RCB. Ayer was the other big performer of this week, 93 versus KKR and 58 versus the Kings 11. And finally, the one kind of standout bowling performance of the week was Rajput, who incidentally that day I had in my fantasy team, which was quite a nice thing. He took 5 wickets against the Sunrisers Hyderabad. Speaking of whom, the Sunrisers Hyderabad won that game as well. So they've won the last 3 games on the trot, defending 118 against the Mumbai Indians to win by 31 runs, which is, if you think about it, it's a massive, massive margin. They then defended 132 against Kings 11 after a 50-run opening partnership between Chris Gayle and KL Rahul. Most teams would have just given up at that stage, but they stayed in the game and they kind of just ran through the Kings 11 Punjab order, which is, I mean, it's no mean feat given that they're great batting side. And just today, they defended 151 against Rajasthan Royals. So this kind of comes back to the whole, I think they have definitely been the team of the week. And they have been, they have kind of almost reversed the whole trend of winning the toss and chasing and winning the game, right? Maybe I'll hand back to Ashwin on that, because I know you've been looking into some stats and some trends, because we talked earlier about win the toss, bat first, and is the toss become irrelevant? But I mean, the Sunrisers have kind of just inverted all that.
Yeah, thanks. So thanks, DJ. Great summary. Just on the toss, the stat as of up until this morning was, in, of the first 10 games, 9 of them were won batting second, chasing. And then of the next 17, only 6 were won batting second. So Sunrisers definitely started. Actually, it was Kings 11 Punjab and Ashwin who started that trend, where he was the first captain on the, in the 11th game to say, we're going to bat first and back our bowlers to defend the target. And then Williamson took on. So great summary of the week. I want to, before we go on to our next section, just ask you know, one sort of quick question. So Varun, I'll start with you again. Some of the performances DJ mentioned, are the thread in common with all of them is the captain stepping up to the plate. Whether it was MS Dhoni's 70, Shreyas Iyer, new captain, which we'll talk about in the next section. Rahane this morning as well, unbeaten with the bat, wasn't enough to take them home. And then obviously Williamson has been doing great as well. How important has captains and leading from the front been? And has that been a little bit of a crutch for RCB and KKR, whose captains haven't yet quite delivered those match-winning performances?
But that said, yeah. Kohli scored a 50 today.
He did, but we don't yet know if it's match-winning. Yeah.
True.
I was just going to say the same. I think Kohli... Well, he's trying hard. I think, yeah, look, I think it's a valid point. The captain always does lead from the front, especially in a T20 version of the game. I think it is important. Dhoni has proved himself. Williamson is actually in the top five run getters so far. So I think, yes, I think Kohli, it's a little bit sad, man. He's the highest run getter of all time for IPL. I think there's no doubt he's a good captain. It's just sometimes the team just doesn't kind of function or work together. And it's something they need to look at. But I mean, to keep it short for me, definitely, I think that the captain and the coach build the culture of the team. We discussed it last time. I think reason why teams like CSK are doing so well is not necessarily because individual contributions, it's more the culture of the team. So yes, I think big contribution by the captains.
And the last one on that, Yogi, I'll ask you, how much has Hyderabad's success been captain and Warner/Williamson or Tom Moody in the coach?
Definitely the strategy that they're playing is Tom Moody's. It's not the captain's. But I think both Warner and Williamson have really used their resources well. This season, you've seen a very nice rotation of the bowling. You've seen a very sensible use of the way they've done that. I think the strategy, though, the whole idea of going bowling seems to be Tom Moody and not Williamson or Warner.
Great. So that wraps up our second section, which is the IPL week recap. We're going to move on to our third section, which is a new section this week. So I'm just going to take a minute to explain it to everybody here and those listening. We're calling this Edge or Sledge in the spirit of the name of our show. So I'm going to go through five things that happened this past week, or five key topics, and I'm just going to go one by one through each of the panelists and then wrap with myself on, was it an edge, which is a negative or a failure, edge didn't taken. Was it a sledge, which on our show we're calling a positive? Or was it kind of 50-50, which we're going to steal the word from Ravi Shastri and call it touch and go? So remember, I'm going to go through each one by one, and you're going to say, was it an edge, was it a sledge, or was it a touch and go? And just take one or two sentences to just quickly explain your perspective. So the first one we're going to start with is just a continuation of the theme we started, which was captaincy. So Gautam Gambhir stepping down from Delhi Daredevils captaincy. Edge, sledge, or touch and go? DJ, let's start with you.
I think sledge, it's good. He wasn't performing. I think he should still be in the team, but he just wasn't performing. So head roll, one win out of six, enough. And he has turned things around already. So sledge for me.
Varun?
Yeah, sledge for me. It's a sad sledge. It's not a sledge I'm happy with, but it is a sledge. I think Gambhir was, I think he said it himself. He said when he went to KKR at the age of 28, he had a vision to turn it around, and he did. He said he came to DD at the age of 36 with the same vision, but he said at 36, I just can't do it. So I think it's a sledge. It's a good move for Delhi.
Yogi?
I'm going to say touch and go, actually. I actually think Gambhir should have been dropped from the team. So I don't think his captaincy was the problem. I think his problem was actually his batting. So if his batting came back, I think he would still be the right person to be captain of that team. I'm still finding it a little difficult to say that this is a good move based off of one game, though it has been a great game for them.
Okay, I will wrap up. My point of view is sledge. So not quite unanimous, but 3 out of 4 sledge. But actually sledge for the same reasons that Yogi said. I think it wasn't his captaincy that was weak. It was his batting. But when you have, you know, 11 players in a side, to have one that's just a specialist captain just doesn't belong. The captain needs to lead from the front like the others have. All right, so we're going to move to our second one. The second theme we saw this week that I want you guys to assess, so Edge, Sledge, or Touch and Go, is dropping off the sort of big name marquee players. So we saw Yuvraj Singh, we saw Kyron Pollard dropped, and then we also saw from Mumbai, Mustafiz Rahman lose his spot on the side. So how do we feel about dropping those big marquee names from their playing 11s? Let's start with Varun this time.
Yeah, I'm a fan of dropping the big names if they're not performing. So Sledge for me. Look, I love Yuvraj Singh, but he's just not been playing well. So yeah, I think everyone deserves a chance. I think it's also about what value you add to the team. I don't think Kyron Pollard was adding much value, although he's a great player, but I don't think he was adding much value. So Sledge for me.
Surprising to hear you acknowledge Yuvraj, but I'll pass it on to Yogi. Yogi, your thoughts?
I mean, I'm also surprised that Varun thinks that's a Sledge. I do think it's a Sledge, but I mean, given that this is the man who played Kallis in 2 years consecutively, every single day of his fantasy team, saying Kallis was due, I'm surprised that he thinks dropping a big name person is a Sledge. But yeah, if you're not performing, you got to get dropped. You've got a lot of players playing really, really well. Pollard just wasn't performing. Neither was Yuvraj. It's a good move.
DJ?
I think it's touch and go for me. And the reason is because it's Mustafizur. And I thought he probably didn't deserve to be dropped because he was bowling quite well. And he didn't make a big impact at the start of the tournament. But then he slowly got into his stride. So Pollard and Yuvraj, yes, I agree, perhaps needed to be dropped. But I think Mustafizur should have retained his spot. So touch and go from me.
Okay. I'm going to agree with DJ on touch and go, but for a slightly different reason, which is Pollard. And I don't necessarily have any love for him or think he belonged there, but I don't think he got enough of a shot to with either the bat or the ball to be dropped. And I struggle with some of the team combinations this year with, you know, in CSK versus Mumbai, there were 15 bowling options. CSK had 8 bowling options. Mumbai had 7. You know, there was a picture being exchanged earlier today, but I think it came from Varun. But Jadeja has bowled maybe 3 or 4 overs in the last 5 or 6 games. It's just, it's a bit ridiculous. And so I think it's almost like the idea of dropping Jadeja despite having not given him the ball. So I'm touch and go on this one. I think all for dropping the big names if they're not performing, but not giving them a chance and then saying they didn't perform confuses me one a little bit. So that's 2 of our 5. We're going to keep this going. Yogi, I'll come to you first on the next one. The third one is low scoring games, just pivoting from these 180 plus tenner games, 200, 210 being chased down to a week where it was low scoring. And as a Hyderabad fan, I have a feeling I know how you're going to go, but Edge, Sledge, or touch and go?
Oh, Sledge, definitely. Well, okay. In my case, I think the reason is also because it seems to be that the low scoring games have been more exciting this season than the high scoring ones, barring, of course, the CSK chasing down, what was it, 200 something? I am getting this right. Yeah. But yeah, other than that, most of the high scoring games have basically ended with the chasing team either fizzling out entirely or, you know, it just not having as much excitement. So Sledge.
DJ?
I think it's definitely a Sledge for me. I mean, T20 cricket is such a batsman-friendly game. You just don't want to see bowlers come in and just go out of the park every ball. It makes for dull cricket. You could just have a bowling machine instead. Why bother with having a bowler there? It's not good to watch. You don't see enough skill. It's the big bats, small boundaries. It's really hard to get excited about a chase of 240, to be honest. I mean, so definitely a Sledge for me. The lower scoring games where it's a more of a contest between bat and ball, where it requires skill to score runs, definitely a Sledge for me.
Varun?
So I think it's touch and go for me. I think firstly, because I've been waiting to say touch and go for the last 3 questions. So it's definitely touch and go. No, man, look, I think DJ knows this better than anyone. It's T20 is popcorn cricket. I kind of enjoy it. I think bowlers taking wickets can never bring out the same side of Danny Morrison as the hitting sixes can. So yeah, it's a lot more fun when the guys are hitting the big sixes. But I'm partly messing around here. It's a touch and go because it is a more high skill game when the bowlers are doing well.
Varun, just speaking of Danny Morrison, can you do your best Danny Morrison impression of somebody hitting six? I mean, pick any player and just say that he's hit a six in the Danny Morrison style. Because I know you've got friends who stop talking to you because you're only talking to them like you're Danny Morrison. So just do it for our listeners and our viewers, please. Come on.
Yeah, so Sesh has stopped talking to me this week because whenever I met him 3 times this week and I've always imitated Danny. But I'm going to take a hypothetical situation where Rahul Tripathi hits a six and Danny Morrison, of course, will be Tripathi comes to the party.
Nice.
Nicely done.
Do you have any others up your sleeve? I mean, I think you've pulled this one before, so you're just recycling it, Varun.
I am. But I think we should go on. I think for the sake of the show,
for the sake of the show must go on.
The key to a good Danny impression is how many alliterative acronyms can you find, right? This morning he was calling Sandeep Sharma double S. So it can keep going. Just to wrap that one on low scoring games, I'm also touch and go. Not so much for the reasons that you guys have talked about, but more that some of the low scoring games have just been poor batting and poor pitches more than good quality bowling. I'd argue the Hyderabad ones have all been great bowling. You know, there was a Delhi-Punjab game, for example, where it was just a poor run chase constructed by Delhi. No specific Punjab bowler stood out. So low scoring games are touch and go for me. They're very exciting when it's great bowling performances. On that, we're going to pivot to the fourth one. So people are now starting to think about using the expression greatest ever for the Sunrisers bowling lineup. Yogi, I'm going to start with you again on this one. Edge, sledge, or touch and go?
Touch and go. They need to win first before you can start saying they were the greatest ever.
DJ?
Well, in the 10 years of IPL, I can't think of a better bowling attack other than maybe the 2016 bowling attack that they had with the Fizz and Bhuvi just strangling batsmen. So I'd say in the 10 years of the IPL, they are the best bowling attack we've seen.
Varun?
I think it's edged and taken. I think it's they're not the best bowling attack. I think, like Yogi said, they have to win first. I think Punjab is good this time. I think KKR has won many years because of their bowling. So, yeah, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, I'm going to agree. You were the first one, by the way, on our show to say edged. But I'm going to agree with that edged. But I don't think it's as much just because of the... I think the bowlers are good and doing a great job. But it's not just the bowling. It's the package, right? It's Williamson's field placement. It's how they're rotating bowlers. So it's the combination of everything. All right. Our final one for this week in this section is a little bit of a pivot where we're not talking about the IPL. So we're going to just transition a little bit. And DJ, I'm going to start with you because you're sitting in London. Edged, sledged, or touch and go on the 100 ball tournament by ECB?
Edged. It's rubbish. It's just rubbish. Why do you need a tournament that's 20 balls shorter than the T20 format? I mean, it makes no sense whatsoever. And the last over is going to have three bowlers. I mean, what are you... If this had come out to the subcontinent, it would have been rubbish. And how the subcontinent is just run by money and this and that. And, oh, we hate the IPL. Oh, test cricket is the best. And all of this stuff. But because it's the ECB, Owen Morgan has to come out and say, I'm a big fan of the 100. It's probably part of his contract to say stuff like that. But rubbish, rubbish, rubbish.
I thought you were going to be as Yorkshire as possible and actually call it rubbish. Varun, let's go to you.
Yeah, edged and taken, man. This is it's really disastrous. I can't understand it at all. No.
Oh, they've got a 10 ball over at the end of it. It's 15 overs, so it's not 16.4 overs. Sorry, it's 15 overs and a 10 ball over, bowled by three bowlers. It's like a baby over. They've got a baby over concept in cricket, literally. Dude, like they'll be like, what if one hand and that's out? Yes.
There you go. We could sponsor them.
Yeah, this is a good idea, guys. One
day. Imagine if there's wides and no balls, it'll go on to like a 14 ball last over.
Yogi, edge, sledge, or touch and go?
Edge taken. Dhoni's taken the stump out. Ravi Shastri's come down to the presentation stadium. I mean, come on. This is a stupid idea.
Agree. So unanimous on this one. I'm also saying this is edged. Let's be clear, the ICC or the MCC or whoever the governing body is has not approved the 10 ball over. So it may not happen or because an over is legally six deliveries, but I think we're all unanimous on it being edged.
I think the batting team should be allowed to choose who the 10 ball over bowler is. So if like Yuvraj is batting, Stuart Broad will just bowl all those 10 balls. That should be the rule. I mean, what is this rubbish? Just play one over, super over, khelo.
Just the toss, dude.
Danny doing a half an hour on the toss. Fascinating. I'll watch that every day.
Just the toss. Every day, 5 minute special. Yeah.
That's great. And then the captains can forget to choose to remember who their 11 players are even then, even though there's no game. That wraps up our section 3. New one, edge, sledge, or touch and go. We'll try it again for a couple of weeks and see how this goes. Thank you for the input. Good discussion, guys. We are going to, as we come to the end of the show, I'm going to wrap up with a final section, section 4, which will be consistent for the next few weeks as well, which is fantasy cricket tip for the next few weeks between now and the end of the IPL. So let me start in the middle, Varun. Let's go with you first. Your fantasy cricket tip for now onwards in the IPL.
My only fantasy cricket tip, and it's more for you, Ashwin, is do not use the multiplier when there is chance of rain.
Thank you.
It is raining now, my friend.
Thank you for informing. So I still had Kohli Trump, so I'll get 4x the 68. I'll take that. It's better than I've had the last few days. But thank
yeah,
you.
But so that is my only fantasy tip.
Yogi, let's go to you.
You really want a fantasy tip from me? I think I'm languishing somewhere at the middle of the table.
But this is when you start
Yeah. So my fantasy tip is always trick people into thinking you're doing badly by languishing in the middle of the table and then attack from behind.
Well, is that a term that that you use for that, Yogi?
I think it's called piche se var.
Well, I do have to say one thing though. I genuinely think Yogi would be one of the best fantasy players if he could just wake up on time.
No, dude. Today, for example, I forgot to put Russell in. I mean, negatively.
What does you mean you forgot to put Russell in? Even I forgot to put Russell in.
No.
Yeah, I also forgot to put Russell in.
I subbed him out, then I normally sub him back in, except, you know, did not happen.
Oh. And today's his birthday also.
That's all.
Before we come to DJ, can I just say, as you make fun of my multiplier, covers are being taken off and they're saying no loss of overs, so we should be okay. So your fantasy tip already goes out the window. DJ, your tip for the week or for the rest of the league?
I think for the week, for me, it's going to be, I think I need to start using stealth mode because there's this guy called Tapori Nawab in our league. And he's been copying my trumps for the last few games. But I tricked him in this game. I had Uttappa as a second innings trump. And I saw he had him as well. Then I trumped M. Ashwin, who's not bowled as yet. So neither is Uttappa batted. So we're even right now. But I think it's going to be... Stealth mode is going to be used very... I think you can use it how many times? Five times?
Five times, yeah.
So I think stealth mode needs to be brought out of the closet.
All right, and I'll wrap up with mine really quickly. My fantasy tip, which is counter to what I thought, is do not trust the stats on average scores in a stadium. This game today that's happening as we record this said average first inning scores at the Chinnaswamy is 188. So I went really batting heavy. And then, of course, Russell picked up 3 wickets. And it's going to be an interesting chase. So don't necessarily get
swayed by who knows the average batting score in any place?
This is fair. So maybe this tip was just for me and I need to start heeding it for myself. They show it on the screen, in case you're wondering. They showed it up right at the time of the toss when Karthik had to remind Kohli who his team was. Right at that point, they said average score is 188. Guys, just before we wrap up, we have a question coming in on our Facebook live feed from Zrithwik. There have been some great catches so far, but there have also been surprisingly many drops. Is this going to be the trend or is this just the pressure of so much cricket right now? Zrithwik, thanks for the question. Yogi, let me take that one to you first.
I mean, I really hope it's not the trend, you know, except of course if you take the Kings 11 Punjab game against Hyderabad. I'm very happy with that trend in that game. No, it just seems to be bad fielding, which hopefully will end.
Varun, does it feel like more drops than normal, or is this just the norm in IPL?
I was hoping you would have a stat on that, the drops per match, drops per innings, drop per player, but just gut feeling wise, it does feel like more drops than usual. And it's sad because they say catches win matches, right? So,
DJ, what's the driver of the drop catches? Any thoughts on that? Closing.
It's mid-season fatigue, man. Everybody gets tired. Fantasy players get tired. Real cricket players get tired. Viewers get tired. It's the middle of the season. Nobody's really watching it apart from people who are playing fantasy cricket anyway. So this is kind of the middle overs of an ODI. Where everybody goes out, gets a drink, and then the slog overs will start and everybody will get interested again and people will start taking catches. And when you get down to the business end of the tournament in a couple of weeks, I think fielding will definitely improve soon.
Great. So that brings us to the end of the show. 4 new sections. We'll try to continue this going on next time. Folks, thank you for joining us. Those of you on Facebook Live, thanks for tuning in. Listen to us as a podcast. We're available wherever you get your podcasts, iOS podcasts. We're also now on Google Play Music. So just check us out and then you'll also see these episodes on YouTube. Visit our website, onetiponehand.com, or like us, subscribe to us on YouTube, and you'll get the video of every episode once a week. We will be back next weekend as we start to get to what they call the business end of the IPL. Hopefully, we'll have another special guest from one of our other teams. Yogi, thank you very much for joining us today. I know it's early out in the West Coast. You know, perfect episode to have you on with the Hyderabad team performing as they are. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's been a very, very special week for us. Yes.
BVS. Great. Thank you very much. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We will see you next week.